fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they. What's they? It's the scriptures. Than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. We're about to get into scripture here. Do you understand what it means? Do you understand what it is? It is the word of God. More to be desired are these words than even much fine gold, and sweeter are they than honey. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your words. Help us to focus. Help us to be desirous of your words. Help us to desire them more than anything, more than riches, more than the sweetness of honey, more than anything else. May we desire you, Lord, what you have to say to us, what you tell us we are, what you tell us you are. May we see that as truth as it is, Lord God. Help us to be focused. Help us to learn as we dive into your words. May we leave here changed, not just feeling different, but changed forevermore to look more like you and act more like you. It's in your holy name we pray. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so getting into this, I share the enthusiasm of the other two speakers in this topic. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And I thank you for, I thank the two other speakers for really talking about that, what that means, what that looks like. And we're going to dive into something that I don't know how everyone will respond. Did that wake you up? Dive into something that's real, that's truth, that's in Scripture, that is God's word. And that's trials. Now I see, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. There's many ways to look at that. But I think that as we go through life, we have these times of highs and lows, right? That we feel really close to God, that we feel really distant from God. Now that may not be what we're supposed to do, but we're sinners. We're human. We're not perfect. And that's what happens. So, it may be that a family member passed away, parents getting divorced. It could be, hey, I'm just trying to not sin. I'm just trying to get rid of these lies. You may come up here at the end of the day. You may have been to these youth conferences where you hear, come up to the front and give it all to God. And when you leave, the same thing happens. Where are you, God? May be the question that you are asking. Why am I going through this? Why can't I live according to your scriptures? Why did this person pass away? Why did you take them from me? Why did you let me end up in this situation? It could be a simple fact of, God, what is your will on my life? What college should I go to? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? These are all things that will inevitably happen when you leave this conference, when you leave this rally. Coming up here, surrendering to God is the right response. But when you leave here, there will be trials. They don't end. And so we'll look into that as we go through this. Remember, this is God's word. That's what we're about to get into. If you're not focused, if that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what else can. I heard somebody say one time, one of the pastors at Lakeshore, they said, if you want to hear God's word, read your Bible. If you want to hear God's word audibly, read your Bible out loud. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to read God's word out loud, and you will hear his word audibly. So let's read. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 9. I'll give you a second to flip there. It's important that you do. I hope it's not on the screen behind me, because I actually like it when people have to physically open their Bibles. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. This is what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this you rejoice, though for now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's pray one more time. Lord God, help us to see and hear what you have for us through this scripture. Open our eyes, open our hearts, that when we leave here, we apply this to our lives. Not just make an emotional shift right now in our seats, but a physical change as we leave this place. It's in your holy name we pray. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see here a lot of talk, right, about salvation, about trials, about salvation again. We're going to kind of jump around because this is how this makes most sense for us to study it because of how it's organized. We're going to start in the middle. We're going to start in verse 6 towards the end where it says, grieved by various trials. So verse 6, to keep it in context, Peter writes, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. What does that term grieved mean to you? When you grieve over something, what comes to mind? Right? The death of a family member, death of a pet maybe, right? Grief, depressed, completely and utterly hopeless. Complete grief. Tears over and over and over again. Not understanding what's going on. Completely enveloped by. That's what grieved means. And we see here, Peter is writing to these Christians. And he says that you've been grieved by various trials. So we see these Christians are in complete grief over these trials that they're undergoing. These trials that they're facing. What trials are they? Nero is emperor at this time. Pretty wicked man when it came to Christians. Didn't like Christians very much. He didn't like them so much that he'd do things like dip them in tar and light them on fire, living to light his dinner table. Covering them in the hides of beasts and training his hunting dogs. These hunting dogs would attack these Christians while they were alive and kill them in order for Nero to train his dogs. He would behead them. He'd hate them. He blamed things on them, right? These were the trials that Peter's speaking about here. Now, I want you to understand, he didn't just say, grieved by the death of your brothers and sisters. That's what was happening. Brothers and sisters in Christ were dying, being persecuted, being murdered, being killed. Think about leaders of a church or not leaders, but somebody in the congregation. Maybe they're serving, maybe they're, I don't know, cleaning the room that they're in. These are the people that are being killed. People they know, people they love, people they are surrounded with. But he doesn't say by the death of these people. He says by various trials, by the many trials that are going on, right? Could be a result of their death. Probably was a result of their death. But how much more does it mean that he uses the words grieved by various trials? Because whatever trials we face, that's what's being talked about right here. Grieved by various trials. When you're asked to respond to the messages that were presented today, and you leave, and you face trials, that's what he's talking about here. Could be the death of a family member. It could be depression. It could be bullies. It could be people just don't like you. Could be that you're battling a sin. Some sin has grasped you. And yes, you give it to God here, but the moment you walk out that door, you're tempted again. Grieved by various trials, completely enveloped, completely saddened, completely overcome by these trials. Maybe you're saying, well, I haven't really dealt with anything that's completely grieving me. Well, guess what? You will inevitably face a trial in your life. And we'll talk about this later a little bit more. We'll see here that if you're a Christian and you have never faced a trial, you should question your faith. Let that hit you a little hard. We'll talk about that in a minute. So we see here that these Christians are grieved by these trials. They're grieved by the deaths of their brothers and sisters and the result of that persecution, thrown in jail, whatever it is, grieved by these various trials. And he follows up in verse 7, so that. What does so that mean? Let's think about it, right? I went to Del Taco so that I could get some food for dinner, right? Or I came to this conference so that my parents would stop hounding on me. Whatever it is, so that indicates purpose. It indicates purpose. So we see here, grieved by various trials, so that means there's purpose. There's purpose in those trials. There's purpose in those things that we face in life as Christians, as followers of Christ. What is that purpose? Grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that the tested genuineness of your faith. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of a trial. To test the genuineness of your faith. And the result of that, if you're a Christian and you fully devote yourself to Christ and his will and have faith in him, is that trial may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we see here that trials, the purpose of trials is to test the genuineness of our faith. How many of you have ever told your friends, yeah, I'm good at that video game or whatever it is, right? Oh yeah, I'm really good at that sport, but you've never played that sport in your life really, right? Or you like scored a goal on somebody one time, so now all of a sudden, oh yeah, I'm really good at that, right? That skill has never been tested. That's a complete lie, right? Oh yeah, I played that video game one time. I got lucky, right? And I beat this guy, so I must be good at this, right? That's never been tested. Never been tested. Why do you think you get tests in school, right? It's to test the genuineness of your knowledge. And if you cheat on that test, that's a sin, by the way, because you're stealing somebody else's answers, right? But that comes out somehow. It really does. That test, that trial is to test the genuineness of your faith. That's what the purpose is when it comes to following Christ. So what does that mean for Christians? What does that mean for us as followers of Christ? Well, one, it means that if you're a Christian, guess what? You're going through a trial. You're probably going to go through more than just one. It'll be your whole life, right? You will go through trials. When you respond at the end of the day here, and you put whatever is on your mind, you give that to God, and you walk out of here, and you face that same trial again, remember this. The purpose of it is to test the genuineness of what you gave up here today, what you gave to Christ here today, what you sought prayer for here today. It doesn't mean it goes away because you came up here and you responded and you prayed with somebody. That's not what we're saying. That's not what it means. When you give your life to Christ, everything isn't all hunky-dory. And you walk out of here and you find a $20 bill on the ground and you don't have to do any work and nothing ever happens to you. That's not what being a Christian is at all. Not even close. And if anybody has ever said that to you, I apologize. They need to read their Bibles. Being a Christ follower means you will face trials. It says it here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." When a trial comes, you're like, "Man, this is strange. I thought that guy said that if I brought this to Christ at the end of the day, that I'd be all good." We're not to be surprised when trials come our way. We're to expect trials to come our way. It doesn't mean that we will have times that we're completely filled with joy and happiness either. But trials will come. Don't be surprised. When you follow Christ, your faith in him will be tested. And the result, if you really do love Christ, is that your faith will be found genuine. He follows it up here by, "more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire." This is more precious than gold that's been through the flame, so it's pure gold. More precious than anything. A lot of you will leave here or maybe have thought about this or at some point in your life will think about this. And that's, what is God's will for my life? Well, this illuminates it right here. He wants your faith to be genuine. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says this. It's the first part. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." This is the will of God, your sanctification. Sanctification, the process of being made holy. The process of being made into the image of Christ. That is his will on your life. If that is his will on your life, your faith will be tested because that's part of the process of sanctification. That's part of testing and showing you areas that you lack in. We go through these ebbs and flows in life. "Lord, I believe. Lord, I don't believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I don't believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I don't believe." Because we don't understand what a trial is. When trials come our way, we should acknowledge them. "Oh, I know what this is. This is here to prove that my faith in Christ is real. And if it is real, this is the way I should respond," and then read your Bible. That's what a trial is there for. We shouldn't respond as, "What's going on, God? This isn't what that guy told me one time. This isn't what I thought I was signing up for. I don't know if I really believe in you." We misunderstand what trials are. We misunderstand the opportunity that trials bring for us. We misunderstand what God's purpose is in our life. His purpose is to make you into the image of Christ. to make you more like his holy, righteous, just Son. Now, he doesn't tell us this without giving us any hope either, right? So we see what trials are for. We see that these Christians were grieved by trials, were grieved by times in their life that they didn't understand. They were overwhelmed. They didn't comprehend. They were really sad. They were depressed. They couldn't get out of their funk. He says that those trials are there to test the genuineness of your faith, and that is more precious than anything else in this life. But before that, he talks about what we rejoice in when we go through those trials. That's why we're bouncing a little bit. So we see what these Christians were going through. We see how that applies to our life. But he talks about something that we rejoice in before that, right? In verse 6, it says, "In this you rejoice." Well, what is that that we rejoice in when we go through trials? Going back to verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Our salvation. That's what we rejoice in when we go through trials. We rejoice that we're saved. Well, what does that mean? Well, the result of us being saved, the result of our salvation is, in verse 4, "to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." Did you know that if you are a Christian, that when you die, the big word is glorified? We're glorified with Christ. We get a new body. We spend an eternity in his glory. An eternity of being sin-free. That's our inheritance. And that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. That never goes away if we follow Christ. If we love him. If we seek his will. If we're in prayer. If we look to him for everything that we do. That's our reward from our salvation. And that never goes away. That's where our joy comes from in trials. Our salvation. When we go through trials, we're having a tough time, we're not feeling happy, we're not feeling joy, which, by the way, did you know, God's will on your life is not for you to be happy. It's for you to be holy. Now, there will be times of happiness, but it's to be holy. And through those times that we're facing trials, our joy comes from our salvation. That's what we seek. That's what we look to. Oh yeah, this trial, this is an opportunity to prove my faith. And even if this trial never ends, guess what? I'm going to heaven. That's where we find our joy. And that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading. It's kept in heaven for us. And by God's power, it's being guarded through faith for our salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That means our glorified body, when we spend an eternity in heaven with Christ. In this you rejoice. This is what we rejoice in. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our trials that test the genuineness of our faith, when we look at them correctly and go through them correctly, and we look at our salvation for our joy, and we look at the trial as a test of our faith, we read scripture, we're in prayer, we understand what it's there for, we respond properly. The goal is that it results in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Christ returns, he gets the glory, the praise, and the honor because of what he did for us. And we see that here in the last part. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Though we don't see him, we love him. That's the response of a Christian in a trial, right? Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible, filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. So we see what trials are for. We see that if we don't correctly understand what trials are, then we can fall into this, I don't know if I believe category. And we go through these ebbs and flows because we think that when we come to Christ and give him all of our faults, that that's where it ends. But it's a process. It's the process of sanctification. Here's what Scripture says. If you're not paying attention, please pay attention. Everybody, I want your heads up. This guy right here too, because this is important. Not that everything else wasn't important. Salvation. This is what Scripture says about salvation. Well, it says, one, that none of us are perfect. That none of us live up to the standard of God. All of us fall short of that. All of us fall short of the standard of God. What is the standard of God? Moral perfection. The Ten Commandments. Have any of us lied? Have any of us cheated or stolen? Had lustful thoughts, committed adultery, ever hated somebody, that's murder, ever dishonored our parents, ever put something else before Christ, ever blasphemed the name of Christ. Well, that's called a sin. And all of us are sinners, according to Scripture. All of us have broken the Ten Commandments. We're all guilty of that. That's why Scripture says that none of us are good. None of us are righteous. All of us are sinners. Scripture also says that the punishment of sin is hell. An eternity of God's wrath being poured out upon us. It's the same as if we get a speeding ticket. There is a fine for that. If we break the law, there is a punishment. We broke the law. That's what sin is. And there is a punishment. And that punishment is an eternity in hell. Well, that's bad news. Well, you have to know the bad news before you can hear the good news. The good news is that's not where God left it. He sent his son, Christ, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. When he died on the cross for us, the wrath of God was poured out on him. He was perfect. He never sinned. He never broke God's law. He never broke his law. But God's wrath was poured out on him. And he died in our place, taking the wrath that we deserve. Think about it. If we are a Christian, the penalty that Christ paid for us was an eternity of God's wrath. How valuable is that? An eternity of God's wrath. What does that mean? Well, it's God's wrath forever and ever 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 and ever. And he paid for that on the cross. And in order to be saved, in order to receive salvation, we must, one, repent of our sins. That means turning from our sins. That means saying, hey, I know I sinned. I know I broke your law. I'm sorry, please forgive me. And turning away from it, not desiring sin anymore. Doesn't mean that we won't sin. Remember, we still face trials. But that we understand how grievous it is when we break God's law. And we seek forgiveness for that and turn from it. That's the first thing. And two, that we put our faith in Jesus Christ. What is putting our faith in Jesus Christ means? Well, it means following his word. Putting our trust in his word, in who he is, and his will for our life, which is sanctification. That is his will for our life, is for us to be sanctified. Our faith will be put to the test as Christians. But the result of that is glory and honor and praise that Christ rightly deserves when he comes back and when we meet him face to face. And we can spend an eternity with him in heaven. That's where our joy comes from, where we will no longer battle with sin, no longer battle with these trials, no longer battle with the desires of our flesh that tears us away from Christ. So I implore you, if you haven't, repent of your sins, put your faith in Christ, and understand what that means when you leave here today. It means the salvation of your souls, and it means that you will face trials. And those trials test the genuineness of that faith that you have in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word and for your Son. I thank you for giving us the opportunity to go through trials, to go through things that are hard, so we can see areas of our faith that are lacking. I thank you for saving my soul and the souls of those who have repented and put their faith in you. Help us to find joy in that when things get tough. Lord, if we're not currently facing trials, may we look and see if we're really Christians. Have we really repented and put our faith in you? And if we have, help us to rejoice in the time before the next trial hits. And when we face difficulties, when we face trials, may we look to you for everything, for how we respond. May we be in prayer, may we be in your word, may we find that sweeter than anything else in our lives. Help us, Lord, to love you most and forgive us when we don't and when we haven't. It's in your holy and precious name, the name above all names, that we come before you in prayer, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen.